You know, this the fourth day of 2015, the first Sunday of 52 Sundays today. Make it a vow that for the next 53 Sundays, you'll be in the house of God every Sunday morning. Hallelujah. And I see that they got, it's working a little bit. Okay. I am going to talk to you today about seeing the impossible become possible. You know, if you start out on a trip, when you start, you can't see the destination. Am I right? You don't know all the scenery that's going to be involved. You don't know the condition of the road. You don't know detours or construction. And yet you start out on that journey and you accomplish that journey 1 mile at a time. You know, we don't ever think about that. We just get in the car and go. You know, what if Bill over here told me, he said, hey, I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to leave at 8 o'clock and I'm going to drive to Dallas. Well, I get here at 9 o'clock and there's Bill sitting in the parking lot, sitting in his car. I said, man, I thought you were going to Dallas. Well, I can't see Dallas from here, so I don't know whether I can make it or not. Well, now we laugh at that, but do you realize that is the approach that some people take to life? They sit on their couch, not going anywhere, because they can't really see the possibilities for them in the future. All they can see is the now. All they can see is the situations, the circumstances. Now turn to Luke 18:27. Most of you know, if you ever have me sign my name on a book or anything, you know, I always write this scripture. It's Luke 18:27. And most of you can quote it, but I'll wait till you can turn there to read it. You know, sometimes even we can quote a scripture, we still need to turn and see it with our eyes. Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The things which are possible, or impossible with men are possible with God. Like I've said two or three times already, we're at the beginning of a year. We cannot see what this year holds for us. We can't see the whole year. But we cannot sit in doubt wondering if we're going to make it or not. We have to look at the new year believing that the things which you encounter which are impossible become possible because you are looking at it with the eyes of faith. So as we look at this new year, let us look at it with the eyes of faith. See, the eyes of faith see what nobody else can see. See, one of the greatest secrets of success is to learn to look at things in the right way. You can look at your fuel tank gauge on your car and you can either say, I'm half full or half empty. One of them is positive, the other's on the negative side. Anybody ever see it? Look at that? Anyone ever notice that? It's the way you look at it. It's the way you speak about it. You know, if you look at things with the eyes of doubt and fear, you won't believe and you won't accomplish.
Don't look at me like that. It's the truth.
Spiritually or naturally. If you look at things with the eyes of faith, believing that you can and that God can help you to make all things possible, then it will happen. It's a matter of how you look at situations. I want to encourage you to look, again, I'm going to say it, look at the new year with the eye of faith, believing what God has said in His Word will be accomplished in your life this year. Every impossible situation will become possible because God said it. See, we must learn to not just look in the natural realm, but we must learn to look and see in the unseen realm. Now look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. And I'm going to read that for you that have your devices. I'm going to read that from the New King James, the Amplified, and the New International Version. That's one thing I like about having the device, is that you can switch to different translations right there. All right. Everybody got it? 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now the Amplified says it like this. Since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are visible are temporal, brief, fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. Now the New International Version says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, these scriptures are telling us to focus on the unseen, the invisible possibilities that exist with God. You can't see them with these eyes. You have to see it with the eyes of faith. You know, some people get locked in on what they can see. They become depressed, full of fear, doubt, unbelief. You see, as you look at things in the natural or in the physical, and you look at those, you think that's all you have. Well, this is all I've got. And they doubt that they can ever make it. But you know, we got to change that. You know, if you focus on your current life and do not consider the reality of the spoken word of God, then the spoken word of God will never become a reality in your life. Now, here it is. The reason we must look at the unseen realm, and I want to read this because I want you to get it exactly the way I said. The reason we look at the unseen realm, we must look in the unseen realm, is because we have more in the unseen realm of the spirit than we do in the physical world that we can see. Now, until you understand that, you will operate in doubt and fear, and you will always be wondering if you're going to make it. But if you begin to focus on what the Word of God says, then you will begin to see what you have over here that can become a reality in the natural. And I'm going to talk about it in a minute. You have assets in the unseen realm that will help you in the seen realm. You see, we must accurately look at the assets in the unseen realm, not in the assets that we have in the seen realm. You know, we may be limited in the natural, but we have a whole lot more based on the promises of the Word of God than you can see with these eyes. You have to see with the eyes of the Spirit, with the eyes of faith. Somebody said, I don't have enough. Hey, you're looking at the natural. Look at what the Word of God says. The Word of God says you have more than enough. Is that not correct? You see, you need to begin to look at the unseen and begin to call what's in the unseen into the reality of the seen. Man, our assets in the unseen realm, the promises of God, the Holy Spirit, the plan of God, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Man, the name of Jesus, that's one asset you need to really get a hold of. The Bible says at the name of Jesus, everything has to bow. At the name of Jesus, everything has a name, has to bow. That's a powerful asset right there. That's a powerful asset. The blood of Jesus. That's another powerful asset. Because it's the blood of Jesus that washes and makes us whole. There's power. We sing that song, Power in the Blood. We just sing there, the power of the cross, which is the blood of Jesus. Some of you are old enough to remember the old prayer warriors and the old saints used to say, I plead the blood. How many of you ever heard the old prayer warriors? Oh, man, more of you than I thought. I plead the blood. What are they talking about? They're talking about the power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that it's not politically correct to talk about the blood, but I'm going to tell you what. The blood is the only thing that will wash you clean. The blood is the only thing that has the power to deliver you and set you free. Glory to God. I can kick now. I got a new knee. I used to have to sit up here to pray. Hey. You know, another powerful asset that we have that we don't think about, and that is the body of Christ. What am I talking about? The body of believers. That's why he said, don't forsake assembling yourself together, because when you come together, believers strengthen one another. You don't realize it, but we draw strength from one another as we come and meet together, worship together, sing together, eat together, enjoy fellowship together. We are drawing strength for one another. That is one of the reasons that I talk to you all of the time about getting involved in a link group. Some say, well, they don't have a lot of spiritual go on. They may not be a lot spiritual going on there, and yet there becomes a power when Christians meet together. They strengthen one another. Come on, let's get a hold of this thing. Man, we have the asset, we have the angels. My dad used to say it all the time, and those that travel with him, he would all the time say, minister in spirits, and that's the angels. Go and cause it to happen. How many of you that were around him and traveled with him ever heard him say that? How many of you heard, if you've heard him preach it, you probably heard him preach it. How many of you heard him preach it? If you're a Rhema student, I know you heard it in the classroom. We have so many assets that we need to call upon, that we just passively think about. Man, they are active. We need to activate them in our lives. You know, how many of you get a bank card or a credit card? You know, or a bank card, one of those, what do you call it, cards, debit cards. But you know, you always have to, either got to call a number and activate it, or you have to go to the bank and put it in the machine and to activate it. Is that not correct? How many of you have ever had to do that? Hey, we need to take all of these assets and we need to make sure that we activate them in our lives. How do you do that? By looking up and saying, all right, Heavenly Father, right now, I activate the plan of God for my life. I activate the name of Jesus in my life. I activate the blood of Jesus in my life. Come on now. God has not called us to live by what we can see. He has called us to live by the promises that he has made in his word right here. That's what we're called to live by. Not what we can see, not what we can feel. Come on. I don't know about you, I already got me happy. When I get to talking about faith and believing God and grabbing hold of the promises of God, it stirs up something on the inside of me. I don't know about you. That's what it's supposed to do, because when you start talking about the promises of God, it begins to activate and stir you up and get you to realize, I don't have to be involved with the past and the obstacles of this world. I have to be involved by seeing the possibilities that lay out there in my future. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we all know it. Turn and look at it though. 2 Corinthians 5:7. You all know it. Some of you already quoting it. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Today's English version. I like this one. And listen to this if you don't have it there. For our life is a matter of faith, not of sight. Our life is a matter of faith, not of sight. What you see is not what you'll get. What you don't see is what you can have. Everybody say, what you see is what you get. Well, in one sense of the word, that can be true. But what we're talking about now, what we're seeing, is not what we have to have. What is in the unseen is what we can have. You know, as we look at the eyes with eyes of faith, let us not just look with natural eyes, but look with the eyes of faith. You know, some people, I don't know why it is, but some people, all they can see is the negative side or the problems. And if they don't have any problems, they'll borrow some from the news. Oh, I don't know. Hey, man, you know, you talk to, oh, this, man, everything's just so bad. Yeah, we're going under. Man, I don't know what we're going to do. Hey, this just, you know,
Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There are some people, they need to get their eyes off of the natural and begin to look at the promises of God. Excuse me. If you want to walk victoriously in life, if you want to walk victoriously in life, if you want to walk victoriously in life, you've got to quit looking at the problems and start looking at the promises. I didn't say the problems don't exist. They do. But the Word of God said everything that's seen is temporary. But what we don't see over here in the promises of God can change what we see. So quit looking at the problem. Sure it exists. Sure trouble comes. Sure circumstances and situations encompass us and surround us. But we don't have to look at that. Remember the prophet's servant in the Old Testament? He went outside. Oh, what are we going to do, prophet? Look at the army. They got us surrounded. And the prophet said, Lord, open his eyes. What did he want him to do? He wanted him to quit looking at the natural and begin to look at the unseen, not looking at the seen. And when he was able to look at the unseen, he saw that there was more than enough to defeat the army that surrounded him. Hey, you've got more than enough to defeat every problem, every circumstance, every sickness, every disease, every financial problem. I don't care what it is. You've got more than enough to overcome it. Hallelujah. There will always be obstacles in the path of opportunity. There will always be obstacles in the path of opportunity. It's going to happen. But get your eyes off of the obstacles and get your eyes on the opportunity. We learn to walk by faith. You know, how many of you have played baseball? Or maybe softball. You know, when I get in the batter's box, you know, as I step in that box, I notice where the players are, and I look for a hole where nobody's at. Oh, they know I'm a pull hitter. They're all shifted over to the left. I'm going to adjust my stance. I'm going to hit the ball over here in the right field because they're all pulled to the left. They're expecting me to pull it down the line because I was a pull hitter. But, you know, they shift. How many of you ever watch a ball game and you'll see they shift because a hitter normally hits it in that spot. But, hey, there's no use hitting it there. They're waiting on the ball. If I'm going to get a hit, I got to get the ball where there's nobody at. Is that correct? Instead of doing my inside-out swing, I'm going to have to go inside out this direction, get it over in the right field. I'm going to have to just poke it over there. Now, if I want my power, I'm going to have to come over here because that's where my power is to where I pull the ball. But you've got to learn to adjust to the opportunity.
See the opportunity with the eyes of faith and then adjust your life course in line with the eyes of faith and the opportunity that's there. Anybody understand what I'm saying? You know, you can always tell what people are looking at and listening to by hearing them talk. A person that is continually looking at the mountains in his life and the difficulties, that's what they will start to talk about, and that's what they'll start to believe, and that's what they'll start to have, failure. But a person who is continually looking at the promises of God and believing the promise of God will begin to speak the promises of God, and they'll have victory and success. We must learn to believe and declare what the promises of God say. All comes back to Mark 11:23. It all comes back to Mark 11, and we can all quote it, but turn and read it. I want you to read it with me in the New King James. Turn and read it. We can all quote it. That's great. But sometimes we need to actually see the words and speak the words. Let's all read this together. How many of you are ready? Read it with me. For assuredly, come on, read it with me. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. We need to believe and speak. Believing and speaking brings the unseen realm into the seen realm. We need to start right now, and you need to start declaring, God has supplied all of my needs. By his stripes, I am healed. The protection and safety of God goes with me everywhere I go at all times. We need to declare, I have peace in the midst of the storm, and nothing can upset me. Nothing can get me distracted. I have God's peace. We need to declare that I have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Apostle Paul said, I always triumph in Christ Jesus. We need to begin to declare that God will make a way where there is no way. God will make the crooked place straight. Declare whatever the Word of God has promised you. Start talking about the promise and quit talking about the problem. Turn to your neighbor and say, quit talking about the problem. Begin to speak in faith. Now, real quick, I want to take the word faith, F-A-I-T-H, and I want to look at it one letter at a time, just real quick. The F goes with focus. And what have I been talking about? Looking at the unseen. Focus continually on God's promise. Okay? Focus continually on God's promise. I think they got it up there. They did, I think. At least they got it in front of me. Did they have it up here? Oh, there it is right there. Good. Then, okay, the A. Ask God for what you need. Ask. Do you realize you don't have because you haven't asked? Ask God for what you need. Now, I imagine, or you could say meditate on God's promises until you fully believe or they become a part of you. You know, if you have to be in a play, you got to meditate. Roll those words that you got to remember over and 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 over again until they become a part of you. Until it's just when you hear the other person say a certain word, it triggers you. This is what you're supposed to say. And when you say that, it triggers another person for what they're supposed to say. We need to meditate on God's word. Imagine the promises of God becoming alive in your life. Anybody here that's ever sat in a locker room has heard a coach say, imagine, see yourself. That's what imagination is. See yourself doing it. See the promises of God. I used to hear my daddy say it all the time. He used to say all the time, he'd say, see yourself healed. See yourself with the finances. See yourself as whatever it is that you're asking God for. See yourself with it. You need a new car? See yourself in driving a new car. No use to you to get, you know, you should have tried to see yourself with a new car if you couldn't even get it in your garage because it's got so much junk in there. Go clean the garage out, expecting a car to be there. All right, let's go on. T, thank God for his promises until you receive. Till it comes from the unseen to the seen, okay? H, hold fast to your confession. Hold fast to your confession. In fact, the Johnson paraphrase of that says, the person that does not become separated from his words will actualize his statement. There in Mark 11, 20, 23 there that we just had. In other words, hold fast to it. Don't become separated from your confession of faith. You need to look. We've got 51 weeks in front of us. We got 51 Sundays in front of us. We need to look and see by the eye of faith the unseen becoming seen in our life, or another way to say it, becoming a reality. There's something here I believe the Lord's trying to tell us. And I'm going to read it to you. I believe this is what the Lord is trying to say to us. This year is a fresh start for some of you. For some, there will be acceleration of his plan. For others, it's time for you to rise to a new level in the will of God and in the word of God. So, take each day you're living in and know that it is a step into the things that he has promised you. Believe what God has spoken to you in your heart, although you can't see it with the physical eye. It's time to rise up and declare that which I've spoken to you. And boldly, when you boldly declare it, you will see and walk in the reality of what is not seen yet. For my glory shall rise upon those who believe my word and go the way that I have spoken. For you shall not walk alone. I will walk every step with you. So rejoice and be glad, for this is your appointed time to pull the unseen into the seen realm and enjoy all of my benefits, saith the Lord, because I have provided them for you with my death on the cross. I have given you every opportunity. I have given you everything that you need to be successful in your natural life and your spiritual life. So I'm saying to you this day, rise up and receive all that I have for you. And as you rise up and begin to walk in the way that I show you to walk, it shall be a glorious time. And you may start out slow. You may start out wondering if you're going to make it. But as you continue to walk by faith, all of a sudden you will begin to run and you will begin to see that the victory is over here, and you'll run to the victory, and then you will shout with victory, because God said you could have what is unseen. I will bring to the scene. It's yours. It's up to you whether it exists in your life or not. Hallelujah. That's what the Spirit of God is saying. Glory to God. Everybody stand up and praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Glory. 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 Wow. Man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Every head bowed for a moment, every eye closed. You may be in this place today, and you can't rejoice with all of us like we're rejoicing, because you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or you need to rededicate your life to God. Or you need to have a no-so experience. All you know is you go to church. You don't know whether you know Christ or not. Anybody on that on any one of those invitations, I want to pray personally with you, and I want to pray for you. But I can't do that unless I know who you are. And the only way I can do that is by you to acknowledge it with a raised hand. So let me see your hand anywhere in the room. If you need Christ, hand back here. Or you need to rededicate your life to God. You want to enjoy all these benefits that I've been talking about. You want to call the unseen into the seen realm. But you have to be a member of the body of Christ through the salvation. Anybody else? You need Christ. Upstairs, downstairs. You need to rededicate. You need a no-so experience. I know I've seen one hand, maybe two. Listen, I can't pray with you personally. I want to shake your hand. I'm going to go right down the front. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to get down here right now so I can pray with you. And your life will be changed forever. Come on, right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. I want to minister to you. I want to pray with you. I want your life to change today. Come on right now. Come on right now. Come on. Come on right now. Hallelujah.
Just as you are.
Hallelujah. Come on. Right here.
Come as you are.
Thank God.
It really doesn't matter.
Come on right here, man. God bless you, buddy. Sit right here. God bless you, buddy.
Jesus is waiting.
Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Come on. If you want to change your life forever, come on right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, I'll come down there with you if you want to go. Come on. This is the time to change right now. First Sunday of the year. Then you got the whole year to live for God. The whole year. Hallelujah to Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Come on now.
Oh,
Hallelujah. Somebody else coming? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I almost stopped too quick. Hey, man. Bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah. I'll wait just a minute in case anybody else wants to come. Oh, here comes another. You're never too old. You're never too young to get to Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus. Bless you, sweetie. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Come on. Hey, guys. Look here. I got two books in my hand. You see that one says New Birth. That one says In Him. This talks about salvation. This talks about what you have in Christ. That's what it is. Now, if I said I'm going to give you these books and I pull them out here like this, what do you got to do to get them? Somebody show me. What you got to do to get them? Somebody. That's it. You got to step out, reach out, and grab them. They're yours. Let me tell you the secret. All the rest of you are going to get those same two little books in just a minute. That's a little exercise I do. I do it on purpose because I want you to realize I can't give you anything. Nobody in this room can. Oh, I can give you a book. But I can't give you it. This thing's a spiritual thing. It comes from heaven on high. And just as she stepped and reached with her hand, I want you to raise one hand. I don't care which one. And with that hand, you say, okay, God, I'm reaching up to get what I come down here for. Hey, you in the congregation, you pray for them as I pray here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no-so experience. I thank you. Rededication, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hand down. Look at me for just a moment. I want to ask you to go to a place of prayer. We call it prayer room where you can get those books and a letter from me and some stuff. We call it prayer room this morning. But every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, that same room becomes a classroom called Turning Point, and it's just a few classes that's to get your life turned on to God or back on to God. That's all it is. And I'd like to see you in those classes. They'll tell you about it while you're in there. Would you turn and look? That's Greg right there. He's in charge of the prayer room. Would you just follow him to that place of prayer right now? Give him a hand as they go. Thank God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. That's what it's all about right there. That's why we open the doors for it right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God.